You are listening to the Children's Hour here on KUNM. So happy to be with you this morning. It's a beautiful day. If you have not stepped outside in that glorious sun, I highly recommend it. It's one of those days that just feels like fall is truly here. Well, speaking of being truly here, Zhenya Novgorodskaya and Aaron Hansborough are both here in the studio with us. Welcome, Aaron.
Hello. Yay.
Hello, welcome, Zhenya. Zhenya.
Zhenya. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Katie.
Oh, I'm so happy you're both here. And, of course, we have our kids in here, too. And talk to us about kids and yoga. I wanted to have you here because you are both yoga instructors. And I guess we should start at the very beginning. What is yoga?
Right out the gate.
Yep.
You know, I would say on a really practical level, yoga is sort of a way of becoming friends with who you are on every level.
Okay. Jenny.
Yeah, I like to start with this question a lot when I work, especially with kids and families, because really there's no wrong answer. And I think really for me, yoga is taking my awareness and bringing it back inside of what's going on inside of myself, which in turn just quiets the mind. And all of a sudden, I feel more present.
Mm. Anna, you said you do yoga every day.
Yeah.
How would you define yoga?
Meditation.
Yes, exactly. It's like meditating. It's like you calm yourself down
meditation
so you can.
Meditation is actually a little more.
Meditation.
Yeah.
Max.
Please don't laugh.
Okay, we will not. We're all being very serious. This is serious yoga.
It's more relaxing, and it's special. For your body.
I like that meditation that's relaxing. Yeah. And Anna, what would you define it?
I define it as it's relaxing, it kind of clears your mind, and it's very good exercise too. Like it's very healthy, and I like it because it's good for you, and you get really flexible, and then it also clears your mind and you feel really controlled.
Yeah, I think that's a really good description.
Well, meditation is actually special because it clears your mind and you can only have one subject in your mind at a time if you're meditating.
That is right. Well, all right. Back to our yoga instructors. You're here in the studio with us, Zhenya and Aaron. And Zhenya teaches at High Desert Yoga, and Aaron teaches at Grassroots Yoga. And so let's talk yoga and kids. I mean, I think of yoga as a practice, but it's also in a very sort of literal physical way. It's sort of a series of stretches and postures and poses that if done right, can really make your body and mind feel great. Is that right? Kind of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what about kids in yoga? I mean, Anna is talking about doing yoga every day, and clearly kids can do yoga, and we have kids were doing yoga in here just a minute ago. Talk about that with us.
One great thing we've had recently at High Desert is so many parents have been bringing their kids to regular yoga classes, which has been super just awesome to see around the studio, how kids can totally focus and be mature and be in the adult classes. But what's also so fun about kid and family-specific yoga is that we get to take yoga off the mat and out of the box, so to say, and we do story time yoga, and we incorporate all kinds of different, we create our own names for poses, and we become more creative and create our own yoga more so than looking at the tradition. We make up our own traditions a lot.
Okay, I have a comment. I was just I'm not flexible at all. I can't really move my legs that much. And I went into yoga thinking, when you do yoga, you have to be flexible to do yoga, but you really don't, and it makes you more flexible to do yoga. And I really liked it. Like some of the yoga positions and moves, you had to be flexible for, but the easy beginner ones that I started off with, that you don't have to be flexible. It's really fun.
Mm.
Uh huh.
It almost seems like kids are natural born yogis, because I think about when my kids were babies and they just did so many things.
Oh, I know.
Without, you know, they were doing the downward dog, and they were actually, we had one kid who, that's how he crawled. He crawled in a downward dog. He didn't go, well, he was smart. He didn't want to like hurt his knees. Right. So anyway, kids do seem very much like natural yogis.
Yes, my mom, she takes me to yoga class sometimes on Sundays, and I really like it because I don't, like, always do the yoga there, and sometimes I just stay in a different room or do an activity, but I like to do the yoga there.
So we know kids can do yoga, and there's kids listening in this audience right now. So a question for you is, the kids who are listening right now, they're home right now. Let's start them. Let's have them do some yoga. What should they do? What should they start with? I'm asking our teachers, too. What should they start with? What should they start with?
I think a great one to start with is called Child's Pose. And it's one where you're down on hands and knees, and then you stretch your arms out in front of you. And the really nice thing about that pose to start with is that, like Zhenya was saying, it really brings you into an awareness kind of on the inside.
Okay, so we are going to be posting pictures right now. I think we're posting them to our Facebook page, which also posts them to Twitter, and that's at KUNM Kids. If you look for KUNM Kids on Facebook, facebook.com/KUNM Kids, you'll find it. And we're posting a picture of Anna in the child's pose. That's really neat. The child's pose looks almost like you're just laying on the ground, kind of curled up in a little ball. That's actually a pose. Why? What are you doing there?
Well, like I said, when you kind of bow in, it's a nice time to sort of let the distractions that are around you fall away a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you curl in, it's a little bit dark in there, and you can hear your breath happening because you are enclosed mm-hmm. in a certain way. And so it's just a nice way to set the tone maybe for your morning before school or before the rest of your day. To have a time when you come in and just really take care of yourself and really attend to your breath.
Okay, Mix, yeah.
I know a pose.
Let's see it, Mix. Let's hear it. Well, how would
yoga?
You describe it? How would you describe it? Because remember, it's radio.
Well, it's called...
Here, come to your mic, buddy.
Floating...
Go.
Talk right into there. Talk right in. Floating island.
The floating island. And we're going to post Mix's floating island. That's a nice pose. Mm-hmm. I call that... What do you ladies call that? What is everybody...
I call that the tree pose.
Me too.
I love that pose.
I wish you guys can see him because he's levitating.
He's like floating.
He is. I don't know how he's doing.
We should post a picture of him levitating.
Maybe it's the breath.
Somebody post a picture of him.
Maybe it's the breath. Yeah, Jenny, please.
Is that I can do this?
I thought it would be nice to talk about. I thought it'd be nice to talk about breath for a moment, because that is such a big part of yoga. When we're engaged with our everyday life, I feel like our breath gets so short, and so in your first yoga pose of the day, it could just be taking a deep breath. And then once you get into your pose, always remember to breathe, because that is really the foundation of everything.
So you talk about, and I hear yoga teachers talk about this, remember to breathe. Well, I'm breathing all the time. I'm not really thinking about it. And all the listeners, they're breathing all the time. So when we're talking the yoga breath, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, remember to breathe?
I think it's maybe not just to remember, but to really deeply pay attention. Mm-hmm. Because, and this is an experiment that anyone can do anywhere.
Okay.
If you kind of catch yourself in a moment where there's a lot of stress or you have a lot on your mind, and you kind of check in like, oh, how am I breathing right now? Like Zhenya said, it's often very short. It's not expanding very deeply into your lungs mm-hmm. and kind of fueling you. But the moment you just start to pay attention, it's like your breath responds back to you, and it gets deeper and it slows down. So it's not even anything that has to be very fancy, but paying attention gets a good response.
Mm. I feel like that remember to breathe, it's like remember to chew. Sometimes we eat food and we eat so fast and we finish eating, but we're like, wow, did I just eat? Was that like 2 minutes?
That is such a good way of – that's a great analogy. Yeah, because the moments – and, you know, and remembering to be in the moment of now. Because, like, when you're taking a breath, That's this moment, this very minute right now that you're in. I remember at my wedding, which was a really fun, super fun wedding. And I remember I had this, it was, the party was in my yard and it was so beautiful. And so much, it was like the moment you're talking about where like so much was happening. I wasn't paying attention to my breath. I was just in this incredibly hyped up space. And I remember my sister-in-law, who I love very much, came up to me and hugged me and said, I want you to stop and just look around and be here now in this moment. And I can still, it makes me cry thinking, I'm so glad she said that. I stopped in that moment. I took a deep breath. I looked around and I saw my friends were happy and dancing. And I was so happy in that moment. And I still remember that as a lesson. And to me, that is very much like yoga. Stopping and being in this moment right now and saying, I don't know, a prayer of gratitude that brought us to this place. Is that a good description?
That's lovely. Very good.
I love that. So, okay, so you're in yoga with kids, and kids are kind of, as we know here on the Children's Hour, what would you say, kids?
Crazy.
Okay.
Chipmunky. Chipmunky, yes.
They said
chipmunky.
It, not me. And so, ladies, how do we handle wrangling the energy? Or do we?
I know recently I've been learning a lot about managing your just your body's responses. And so, you know, just yoga inherently has these exercises that help do that by putting pressure on the floor, bringing your palms together and pressing them. I often start with things like that, you know, create certain proprioceptive responses in the body.
But we and can proprioceptive, even you mean like our deep sensory system.
Exactly.
So when you do pushing your, everybody, are you doing that right? Everybody in the studio is doing this right now. We're all pushing our hands together in front of our, we have them lined up and they're being, and we're pushing our palms together as hard as, ooh, that feels so good.
It really does. When you let go, it really sends a message to the brain and creates some time for your mind to focus.
Love that. Now we're all focusing our minds on the radio. Downward dog, we hear this. I love that pose. Talk about the downward dog. And folks who can't, I mean, how do you know you're doing these poses without hurting yourself? I mean, I have to admit that I had a friend over one day and she did yoga with me. And she left that, she had actually hurt her shoulder. And I felt so bad because she was just following what I was doing and I never hurt my shoulder. And so how do we know we're doing it right?
You know, like you just mentioned, Katie, the shoulder joint was something that she was feeling discomfort in. And it often is, especially in a still pose, it's going to be the joint system that bears the load. And so we have to be careful that we're not hanging out for long periods of time loading a joint that isn't maybe set up to support that load. Or maybe we've got our hands twisted in a funny way, or we're rolling our weight out onto the outer edges of the hand and making the wrist uncomfortable. So when you're still, really pay attention to those joints.
Yeah.
I think it's also good to remember to actually draw the joint into the socket, because this is injuries happen when people are hanging on the ligaments, because the ligaments aren't meant to stretch. So if you think about the action of drawing the shoulder into the actual shoulder joint, then engaging the muscles actually protects your joints, aren't actually holding you. Your muscles are, and your bones. So that's a good thing to remember, the strength of the muscles and the bones.
We have three people on the floor here in the studio doing all kinds of yoga, and they're doing the plow position, which is, how would you describe the plow position, Erin?
The plow position is kind of like an upside down forward bend.
Okay.
Where the body's sandwiching in on itself a little bit. But it also involves kind of an element of a back bend, because as you can, if you look at a picture here,
we're posting pictures right now to our Facebook page and to Twitter at KUNM Kids.
So you'll see our grown-up doing the yoga has his arms stretched out behind him in a shoulder stretch that's going to be a little bit like a back bend.
So he is basically, he's rolled over, so his butt is above his head, his feet are behind his head, and his arms are then the other direction I'm glad a picture is being posted and the kids are doing it too. Yeah.
There's a fun way that we do this pose in family yoga where you lay down on the floor and then you place maybe like a Beanie Baby or something that you could pick up easily right above your head. And then you press your hands into the floor and you let your legs lift up over your head. And then you can see if you can take that Beanie Baby with your feet and you're doing Halasana, plow pose.
Oh, I love that. Now, you're talking in Halasana and all these Savasana. And what language is this? And where did yoga come from?
Yoga language.
Somebody, you know, in the plow is yelling, yoga.
People
language.
Say yoga comes from India, and that is true. I also feel like it really comes from the surrounding regions. There's yoga in Egypt and Tibet and lots of other places. But the language that we use is Sanskrit. It's a very old language, and it's very even just hearing the language creates certain awareness in your body, in your mind. It's very based in sound. So just hearing asana, it does something to you different than
just
say posture.
It's like forcing you to do that deep kind of. Mm-hmm. And I have a question. I have so many questions for you, but only a limited amount of time on the Children's Hour. But one big question I have for you is for parents who are listening right now who want their kids to be involved in yoga, what is a good way to start?
They want yoga in schools. That would be the number one way. Or you can come take a class at Grassroots Yoga or High Desert Yoga. We have plenty of offerings.
There are kids' classes, and Julia has a suggestion.
At our school, we have a yoga mat and some yoga cards, and we can pull out the yoga cards and yoga mat whenever we want and pick a friend or two to do them with.
So they have for teachers. Yes, go ahead.
I'd also like to say that sometimes as grown-ups, we get used to how it feels to do yoga as an adult. But it's important to remember that for kids, it may need to look a little bit different, more playful, maybe a little more exuberant. Maybe there's more partner work. Mm-hmm. So just like Anna was saying before, she thought she had to be able to touch her toes to do yoga. And that's what yoga looked like in her mind. And then she figured out, actually, I don't have to show up and be flexible. Yoga can look like all kinds of things.
I think yoga is pretty amazing. Grassroots Yoga is one studio here in Albuquerque. That's Aaron's studio. What's the phone number for Grassroots Yoga and the website? I know you all have. I want to be sure to give a plug to Grassroots Yoga. Does a Tuesday at 4 o'clock inclusion yoga program for kids of all abilities. I do recommend if you have a child with a disability that you can check out yoga because I have a child with a disability. It has been incredible for her flexibility, especially on her affected muscular side. But that's your Tuesday 4 o'clock class. You have other kids programming?
We do. Starting in January, we'll have a family class where people can show up with their kids and everybody will do yoga together.
That sounds great. And also, Jenya, you are at High Desert Yoga and you're working with families.
Yeah, and I just wanted to quickly share that my son is also, he has a little bit of a motor challenge and mild CP, and I was kind of afraid to take him to family yoga. You know, I was like, well, he won't be able to do this, and he can't do 4-point and whatever. But I was so impressed and happy and surprised that he was able to do almost everything we did. So I just wanted to put that out there because there could be a fear of, wanting to go to a regular class, but you can.
So you have family yoga at?
Yes, we have a Sunday class, which is at 10:15. We also have a teen yoga class on Thursday nights. We have an all-kids class on Mondays.
Wow.
Yeah, we have lots of offerings, and we also have camps in the summer and coming up here for spring break.
The website for High Desert Yoga?
HighDesertYoga.com.
And the website for Grassroots Yoga?
It's grassroots-studiosabq.com.
Grassroots-studiosabq. You can also Google search Grassroots Yoga Albuquerque. Yoga and kids, it's absolutely something kids can do and love to do. And speaking of yoga in schools, we did have one of our representatives from the central part of the state suggested that yoga was a religion and therefore should not be done in schools. But I think you've heard here on the Children's Hour, I don't hear any mention of religion. I hear a lot of mention of breathing and gaining control of your body. And I really hope that teachers who are listening will consider using yoga in their classrooms. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Children's Hour this morning.
Thank you.
Aaron and Zinnia, they're from High Desert Yoga and Grassroots Yoga.